Chris Morning Update, Friday, May the 12th. Merck and Kohl's shares surged 2% in pre-market trade Thursday after the company's anti-PD-1 therapy Keytruda, in combination with chemotherapy for the first-line treatment of patients with metastatic or advanced non-squamous non-small cell lung cancer. The approval is key because the approval applies regardless of patient expressions of the PD-L1 biomarker, which opens up the first-line market meaningfully for Merck, said Evercore ISI analyst Umer Raffat. Raffat described the approval as a very significant opportunity and said he expected demand for Keytruda in this wider patient population to grow as new patients are diagnosed. Keytruda and chemotherapy is a clear positive, and it positions the company in a leadership position in this $10 billion-plus segment of the market, said JP Morgan analyst Chris Schott, who rates the company overweight with a $63.94 price target. The company also has a distinct time-to-market advantage of 9 to 12 months over peers in the first lung cancer, raising the bar for competitors to show differentiation relative to Keytruda Alimta to gain shares in this setting. The development was an incremental negative for the rival Bristol Myers Squibb, which has been neck and neck with Merck in this area of drug development, Schott said. Bristol Myers Squibb shares declined a scant 0.5% in pre-market trade. Another troublemaker hits Hong Kong market at Gotham City Research wrote a report on AAC Technologies, ticker 201A. With the title, Why Are AAC's Reported Profit Margins Higher and Smoother Than Apple's? Part 1. The Gotham City Research has reasons to believe that AAC has used 20-plus undisclosed related parties and dubious accounting to overstate and smoothen profit since 2014, and at least 20 undisclosed related party suppliers are owned or managed by AAC CEO's family members or employees. And these undisclosed related party suppliers are not listed in Apple's suppliers list, despite some claiming otherwise. And some of the undisclosed related entities supply the same products as AAC does, are based in the same locations as AAC is, and hires employees under AAC's name. And AAC has used these hidden entities to evade Apple's labor standards specified in the Apple Suppliers Code of Conduct. Apple and other parties will conduct independent investigations and validate its findings, and as a result, AAC's profit margins will decline in conversion to its peers level. And also, AAC is in violation of Hong Kong's listing rules, Apple's supplier code of conduct, and its own representations. Other observations include that the AAC operating profit margins have been unusually high and smooth relative to its peers and Apple since 2014. And AAC's cost per employee is less than half of its peers, and it has no listed CFO since 2010 per its annual reports. Chen Yuanwu, the wife of AAC's CEO, is a member of AAC's Audit and Risk Committee. And the company has three COOs within 1 year from 2013 to 2014, around the same time AAC's margins became unusually smooth. And AAC's auditor, Deloitte, is considered the audit firm that has had the most trouble in China. And return our focus back to NASDAQ, and Snap Inc. stock plummeted in late trading Wednesday after the Snapchat parent's first earnings reports as a public company revealed a gigantic quarterly loss of $2.2 billion. That figure is more than four times the total revenue of Snap had brought in before the recent quarter, when it reported $149.7 million in revenue. That brought the seven-year-old company to more than $500 million in total revenue over those 7 years. Even fellow hot tech startup Uber Technologies doesn't lose money at that fast a rate, which is really saying something. So how did Snap manage to lose that much money in just 3 months? Well, the bulk of it has to do with the blockbuster initial public offering that Snap enjoyed in March. Because the company went public in the quarter, it realized a gargantuan amount of stock-based compensation to employees whose options vested at IPO time, which accounted for nearly $2 billion of that total. Even after subtracting stock-based compensation and other factors, Snap still lost more money than expected in the first quarter. The company reported an adjusted EBITDA loss of $188.2 million, more than its revenue total and a higher than average analyst estimate of $180.7 million. Snap did not provide a forecast for its financial performance going forward, so nobody knows how much it expects to lose in its full year as a public company after starting off with a $2.2 billion deficit. And the last but not least, Macy's Incorporated shares sank nearly 10% in Thursday pre-market trading, reaching the lowest point seen during regular hours since 2011, after the retailer reported first quarter earnings and sales that missed expectations. Net income was $71 million, or 23% per share, down from $116 million, or 37 cents per share from the prior year. Macy said store closures are partly to blame for the sales decline. Same-store sales on an own basis were down 5.2%, and on an own plus licensed basis, same-store sales fell 4.6%. Macy's reaffirmed its full-year 2017 guidance, forecasting a same-store sales decline between 2.2% and 3.3% on an own basis and a decline between 2% and 3% on an own plus licensed basis. Macy's shares are down more than 18% for the year to date, while the S&P 500 index is up 7.2% for the same period. And that's all for our Friday update. Stay tuned for our update on the 13th.